on today's Compassion Radio.
It seems to me that God pursued a very passionate man. Saul was very passionate about his calling, misguided as it was. God pursued him through the person of Jesus Christ, a dramatic and traumatic experience in his life.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the latest edition of the Compassion Radio Chasing the Word series. Over the past year, we spent our Mondays following Paul and his fellow apostles on their journey to bring the gospel to the whole Roman world. Why are we doing this? Well, simple. The lessons learned are exactly the truth and power that are needed to finish the task in the 21st century. If you want to learn how to live missionally, well, you need to spend time with those who do it and with those who have done it. Thanks for joining us on that journey. It is time, honey, finally, to jump into chapter 22 in our Chasing the Word series as we study the book of Acts.
There was a lot in chapter 21, so it took us a few weeks to actually get through it.
I'm excited to move on myself, finally. Yeah. Now, of course, we're approaching this a little bit differently than we have in the past. There's a little more intimate conversation. For the first time, I think, in many, many years, we no longer are using an announcer for the beginning of our program. That starts this week. I want to take just one moment on behalf of our good friend Frank Montenegro, and in the past, Jim Governale, two people that were very special to us in the position that they held in this ministry for many years. I won't take a long time to talk about the issue, but we are changing up a little bit of our style because so much of what we do is about very personal messages. And it occurred to us that we probably need to get a little more personal and present and in front ourselves with what's happening each and every day in the ministries that we work with. We've made that decision to be a non-hosted program, to be our own hosts. And that begins today.
Yeah, it's been a lot of years that Compassion Radio has had a host.
Before me, a few years before I joined the team, Glenn Owen was our announcer and host for a while and served on our board for many years and a good friend of ours. So we've had this history now for about almost 20 years of having an announcer. To change that up for us is going to be a little bit interesting, and I hope it's not too disruptive for our friends out there that are hearing this program. But we will be at the beginning, in the middle, at the end, us talking with you personally as if we're sitting at the kitchen table with you. That's what our ambition is, to be in the car writing with you, to be at the table sharing the word together with you day in, day out, and to introduce you to good friends as if we're coming over to have a cup of coffee with you. That's the kind of ministry and the kind of style of program we've always wanted to be.
Well, here we go.
So beginning in chapter 22 of the book of Acts. Let's read some of that together, and then we'll talk, as we have always, about maybe a paragraph or two at a time, about what's going on in the context of the church. And we know that Paul is finally on his way, as we would say, the final mile.
We read in chapter 21 where Paul was arrested in Jerusalem because of many people stirring up dissension against him, being upset with him for having shared the news of Jesus with the Gentiles and bringing them into the fold as well, and calling out a lot of the Jewish traditions and putting them to rest and saying, no, this is not what we need to do. This is not how we need to behave toward the world.
Now, of course, the Jews that were very observant of the rules and all came along with the scriptures would say that he's disrupting everything we know about how to be God's people. And in some ways, they're not wrong. He's telling them, get back to the basics, which go even before all the rules you've added on to try to keep you pure. God does not dump a whole big religion on top of people who have never known him as a people before. He makes them his own possession by inhabiting their hearts through his Holy Spirit. And that's something that is a radical shift, even for the believers who followed Jesus. They were not expecting to be fully indwelled with the Holy Spirit and have this huge revival happen within their own people. And now it's spreading out worldwide. And Paul has brought back this news that Gentiles the world over have accepted Christ and have been empowered by the Spirit in the same way that the believers in Jerusalem have been. This is truly, for the Jews, very disruptive, especially for those who don't want to follow the way or don't consider Jesus the Messiah. It is, in fact, disruptive. So he's now been put into protective custody. He knows that God's called him to go to Rome, and everyone that's prophesied over him, as we've talked about for chapters now, has kept telling Paul, if you go, you will be bound, you will be tormented, you'll be tortured, and you will be killed.
Yet he persisted.
every single time, and with great tears and anguish, kept telling him, I must follow and be obedient to Jesus in this. And everyone that has talked with him about this has been grieved deeply, knowing this was going to be the final time they'd ever see him.
Yeah.
And that's where we start. He has his eyes set on Rome to go, and he's ready to defend himself and speak clearly about what God has put in his heart. And that begins at this chapter.
Well, I just want to reiterate that the end of chapter 21, he is thought to be an Egyptian fanatic who started a rebellion. Yeah. That's who the Roman think he is, mistaken identity. So when they realize he is actually a Roman citizen, they're stunned by that and give him permission to speak to the crowd that he's asked for. And he says, brothers and sisters, fellow believers and elders, please listen to me as I offer my defense. Now, when everyone realized he was speaking to them in their Judean Aramaic language, the crowd became all the more attentive. Then Paul said, I am a Jewish man who was born in Tarsus, a city of Turkey. However, I grew up in this city and was properly trained in the Mosaic law and tutored by Rabbi Gamaliel, according to our ancestral customs. I've been extremely passionate in my desire to please God, just as all of you are today. I have hunted down and killed the followers of this way. I have seized them and thrown them into prison, both men and women. All of this can be verified by the high priest and the supreme council of elders, for they wrote letters to our fellow Jews of Damascus, authorizing me to arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. As I was on the road approaching Damascus, about noon, a brilliant heavenly light suddenly appeared, flashing all around me. As I fell to the ground, I heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I answered, Who are you, Lord? He said to me, I am Jesus, the victorious one. I am the one you are persecuting.
Now hold there. There's an interesting parallel we've run into a number of times in this ministry because we spend so much time finding out what God's doing in some of the most hidden places for Christianity around the world, including behind the Muslim curtain. Many of the countries in the Middle East and Central Asia are seeing tremendous upwellings of the Spirit and people coming to faith. And many through experiences like what Paul is describing right here. And many of the people we've heard about from good friends like Brother Andrew and through other folks that open doors around the world and through ministries like World Mission up there in Michigan, where they distribute the treasures around the world. We've been part of that project many times. And of course, through Bibles for the World, we hear from John Podiety time after time that revelation is coming to people. The kind of people this revelation is coming to are not the nice people.
Right.
In fact, it is often the people that we would categorize legally, even in this country, as terrorists.
The bad guys.
Often, God comes to those who have terrorized others and said, you're persecuting me. He says that to them in the first person voice. Paul is saying this here. So what does that tell us? Like it or not, the man that we say is the head of the Western church that brought the gospel to the people that we know as our own people, probably going back all the way to Bible times, if we're Gentiles, our church was founded by a terrorist.
Wow.
Consider that.
That's a tough thing to say.
And it's true. It's not hyperbole.
Right.
Hi again, friends. I hope you're enjoying this special Compassion Radio series, even half as much as we have while we're creating it. Since we took responsibility for this 75-year-old ministry, Sandy and I have committed ourselves to chase the Word together in our own lives, and to challenge you, our partners, to do the same, because we can't really step out in faith and do world-changing work without it. The Word is our power and our life. I've said it many times on this program. The Word is not an it, it's a who. And that who is Jesus himself. We'll be at our best when we stick with God's Word and let Him guide us where He wants us to go. You also know that the what and the where for Compassion Radio has always been at the very leading edge of where God's hand is at work, anywhere in the world that might be. Every day we invite you to join us through your faithful prayers, actions, and giving. The importance of your partnership with us in 2020 has never been greater. Just this week, our strategic ministry partner for Bible placement, John Podiety, pled with me to come join him in the Middle East this spring. He wants to show us firsthand what God is doing among refugees along the Syrian border. The church there is exploding among Muslim background believers. John wants the world to know what's really going on there, and he wants Compassion Radio to tell that story. And friends, I want to go. Wouldn't you? Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. But I can't say yes to John until our faithful partners, and that means you, step up and make it possible. It's our strong desire to be going deeper, to go farther, to be braver than we've ever been in this year of 2020, and to bring you the stories that you just won't hear anywhere else. So I'll ask you this, will you help us do that? Your gift today is absolutely essential to make that possible, and I can't emphasize that strongly enough. Friends, I simply ask that you would keep giving so that we can give back to the world through our strategic ministry partners and to you with inspiring programming on this radio station and over the internet. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way. The kind of people this revelation is coming to are not the nice people.
Right.
In fact, it is often the people that we would categorize legally, even in this country, as terrorists.
The bad guys.
Often, God comes to those who have terrorized others and said, "You're persecuting me."
Mm-hmm.
He says that to them in the first person voice. Paul is saying this here. So what does that tell us? Like it or not, the man that we say is the head of the Western church that brought the gospel to the people that we know as our own people, probably going back all the way to Bible times, if we're Gentiles, our church was founded by a terrorist.
Wow.
Consider that.
That's a tough thing to say.
And it's true. It's not hyperbole.
Right.
This is a man who is confessing to his people that I am as much a jihadist as you. Think about that.
Yeah.
He's saying to the people that want his head on a platter that I'm one of you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God came to me. Jesus himself said, "You are persecuting me."
Mm-hmm.
That gives me great hope, even if it's kind of disruptive in my worldview, because I want my Christianity to be nice and tidy and not one of them.
Right.
Terrorism has been around forever. It is one of the major tools of the devil.
Mm.
He would love to terrorize us into ineffectiveness, our unwillingness to serve God and pay the price sometimes for serving him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we know and we celebrate the lives of people around this world who choose suffering before disobedience.
Martyrs.
To the point of death.
Right.
And we rightly celebrate them, but we don't want to romanticize them either. Because we don't want to say, oh, because this had brought God's great answer to an awakening to their countries, it was so worthwhile.
Yeah.
Easy for us to say in the armchair back here in America. We're not talking about our pound of flesh. It's kind of like the old idea of the breakfast. The pig and the chicken are both involved. One's paying a much higher price than the other.
Exactly.
I don't want to be the rest of my life the chicken when it comes to facing persecution or suffering. At the same time, I have to acknowledge the fact that God has never required of me that kind of suffering to the point of death.
Mm.
You know, God willing, he won't. God willing, my children won't have to suffer. And there are many things to be said for the privileges and the rights we have in the West. But the point is, in the kingdom, God uses who he will use, and he often uses the kind of people that we would least like to acknowledge God can use. And it started right there in Jerusalem.
Well, it seems to me that God pursued a very passionate man.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was very...
a zealot.
Saul was very passionate about his calling, or what he thought was his calling. Misguided as it was, God pursued him through the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
A dramatic and traumatic experience in his life brought him to great works of God.
And now, of course, he's giving testimony to a couple of things. One, that Jesus is in fact the Messiah. Two, that he is in fact killed and resurrected. And three, that he is in fact still with us.
Alive.
Mm-hmm. And well, and speaking in powerful visions. So this person, he's saying, is alive and present. These are all radically disruptive concepts, and they're going to completely tear apart this crowd shortly.
Right.
But it is, as we would say, the truth, mm-hmm. the whole truth, and it's nothing but the truth.
Right.
So let's continue on with what Paul says after confessing that Jesus came to him personally. Now, those who were with me saw that light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I asked, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord answered me, "Get up and go into Damascus. There you'll be told all that is appointed and destined for you to do." But since I could not see because of the glorious intensity of dazzling brightness, that light blinded me. I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus.
This is interesting to me because these men that were with him essentially had no idea what was going on.
Right.
Just this blinding light that they saw and heard the booming sound.
Well, he wasn't deaf and dumb at this point. So my guess is he probably answered them right away. Did you not see what I just saw? Did you not hear the voice?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I
can imagine he probably talked about it all the way into Damascus. Or he could have been stunned and unable to speak. I don't know.
Yeah, I've often wondered what became of these men, what their lives looked like after this, because we know then that Paul immediately was targeted with a death sentence.
Well, the news got back to Jerusalem right away. So obviously some of them probably turned right back around and ran back to Jerusalem saying, the man's gone crazy.
You're not going to believe what just happened. Yeah.
And it's possible that some of those that saw what happened were very curious and might have quietly been pursuing this way.
Mm.
There could be great novels written just in that one group of people.
That's true.
And all of which would be very true stories because, like we've said many, many times, we'll keep saying it, God is still doing these things anywhere he wants to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in a rational, high-minded, secular Western society, we have very little concept of this being a possibility because we don't allow it to be a possibility.
We're very logical.
If you're not going to allow that God can work in certain ways, he's probably not going to bother you that way unless he has a real big point to make. But why go out of your way to try to do something that people are not going to believe anyway?
Mm-hmm.
God goes especially to those who are ready to hear his voice, I think, or those who must hear his voice because of his purposes.
Right.
So he's said this. He's gone to Damascus. What comes next?
A Jewish man living there named Ananias came to see me. He was a godly man who lived according to the law of Moses and was highly esteemed by the Jewish community. He stood beside me and said, "Saul, my brother Saul, open your eyes and see again." At that very instant, I opened my eyes and I could see. Then he said to me, "The God of our ancestors has destined you to know his plan and for you to see the Holy One and to hear his voice. For you will be his witness to every race of people and will share with them everything that you've seen and heard. So now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins as you call upon his name." Then I returned to Jerusalem, and while I was praying in the temple, I entered another realm, and I saw him. And he said to me, "Hurry and depart from Jerusalem quickly, for the people here will not receive the truth you share about me." "But Lord," I argued, "they all know that I'm the one who went into our Jewish meetings to find those who believe in you and had them beaten and imprisoned. When the blood of your witness Stephen was shed, I stood nearby in full approval of what was happening. I even guarded the cloaks of those who stoned him to death." Then Jesus said to me, "Go at once, for I am sending you to preach to the non-Jewish nations." The crowd listened attentively to Paul up to this point, but when they heard this, all at once they erupted with loud shouts, saying, "Get rid of this man! Kill him! He doesn't deserve to live!" Hmm. Why?
Is why in the Bible there? Are you asking
this
question?
No, I'm asking why. Is it because of the Gentiles that he sent to the non-Jewish nations that they're upset with him?
I think they're upset, period, because he's not playing ball anymore.
Oh.
You know, he's already got a reputation for being a turncoat. He went right back into the den of thieves, you might say, right in the heart of Jerusalem again, to the temple because he wanted to pursue God there. Remember, he's been baptized. He's accepted the lordship of Jesus. What else is he going to do but go back to the places where his presence is most likely to be encountered? and he was being moved along. What the Spirit was prodding him to go back to Jerusalem, where he just felt a huge impulse to go back there himself. Mm. He did, and God did in fact speak to him in the temple.
Or he didn't know where else to go at the time.
And that's a fair thing. I think anybody who starts off in a difficult situation in their faith, if they're going to come to the Lord where they're at a crossroads or where there's an impasse in their life, some relationship been destroyed, something bad's happened in life, or something just transformational is about to happen because there's been a catharsis, something big has changed, you're going to go to the place you feel most safe. And I think he probably felt the safest with where he knew the truth to be, which is where God has said, this is my home. And God is good enough to encounter him there in the place where he knows, but also to not make him comfortable anymore with stones. Mm-hmm. He says, you're going after living stones, basically. And out he goes. Now, I take something else from this passage. Paul has said that every nation of the world is going to know me because of you. That's a grand statement, because obviously Paul did not go to speak to every single nation. But he went to the Gentiles that God sent him to. What it kind of tells me is this. If God is literally telling this through the lips of Paul to the people in Jerusalem, I think God is affirming that I will not stop in this movement until every last descendant of every race of people and every language and tongue does have a chance to hear the gospel, to respond to me, to know me. Mm-hmm. So this is the Great Commission being lived out, right?
Right.
God has commanded that we go and make disciples of every nation. Obviously, Paul did not live to every generation to see it happen, but he has spiritual children. It tells me that they were never wiped out. The descendants spiritually of Paul, one to another, continue until this day.
Mm-hmm. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way. Cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must follow.
friends, it's an honor to have you with us each and every day on this program, especially for this very personal journey into the book of Acts. As we close the program today, can I ask you for something? Let us know how we're doing. We can't discover what moves you most and speak to the things that move your heart unless you tell us. Would you do that today? Simply call or write us through email, our website, or our P.O. Box. By the way, here's my direct email, which you can use anytime. BramFloria@CompassionRadio.com. That's spelled BramFloria@CompassionRadio.com. Now, to reach us 24/7, to learn more about our history, our projects, to hear our podcast, and to make your love gift, simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is manned during business hours Pacific time at 1-800-868-2478. If you get voicemail, just leave a full message and we will call you back as soon as the office is open. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. Come back and join us for tomorrow's Compassion Radio. I'm Bram Floria, wishing you a great day in the Lord.